Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and darling Veronica Entwistle. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm fine, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. Tonight's show, Resonant Reality. I love this one. So we're going to talk about how really important this is, especially at this time. And I'm going to read this quote because I love this. For us to become complete through this transition, to move beyond karmic creation and into resonance creation, requires that we are able to absorb emotions cascading down from the great central sun into our pineal and pituitary glands. Now, that is a mouthful for you. All right. So, show dedication for the continued support for peace on our planet and healing of all species. And I know, Veronica, you spoke earlier in the week about there were rumblings of us making an attack on Iran. Is that correct?
Yes, I haven't followed it through. I don't really read the news that well. But, yeah, I had a number of clients talk about how that's in international news, not in American news, I don't think.
Okay. Well, that's the reason we did the show dedication that way. So
that's
anyway,
the reason we're doing the shows, right?
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to resonance, not that I'm certain that they're really separate issues here, let's talk about men and fathers for a minute. Oh, God, and that is up in big time on the planet right now. Huge, at least in my experience, not only my personal experience, but certainly with my clients, I'm seeing people doing some major work with fathers. And this is so big that their sessions are absolutely huge. And the clarity, I mean, what's coming out during the sessions is general anger, and for you men that are listening, please don't take this personally. General anger at men, previous lifetimes, planetary lifetimes, and cosmic lifetimes. And just literally pouring out of their self. And these are really, really, really big sessions. And certainly, I know one of them's listening right now. So. And one we did, she was having so much pain in her teeth. I don't know if I talked about this last week, but she was having so much pain in her teeth, she was going to stop the session and wanted to literally get a pair of pliers and pull them out. They were so painful. Went to the dentist, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with them. And, of course, teeth are foundation. So I thought that that was very, very telling.
She might have needed to chew her dad out a little.
Oh, very funny. Well, I think this really is dealing with the male archetype. And I just find this to be absolutely huge. And so I'm going to talk about something that came up today in a session because I thought this was really kind of trippy. And this is Dear Janet, who's been having visits from different beings from different planets. They're coming in various forms. They want her to draw them. And she's an artist, but drawing has never been her forte. She's an oil artist, or an artist of oils, or however you say that. So she's been having some very interesting experiences, and I've read some of them on the air in the last couple of weeks. And she had an experience with an Anasazi Indian. Now, I'm paraphrasing here because I had to read from the team's notes. So, but for those of you that don't know about the Anasazi, they were American Indians, and when they left the planet, there is just no trace of them. There are no burial grounds. There is nothing. They just literally left. And it's been a great mystery. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I've been through their dwellings in Arizona. You know, they've got a whole segment of, or a couple of villages.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But
how did you feel?
I thought it was, it felt really, I loved it, actually. I felt like they were warm and homey. I don't think they were violent, were they?
Oh, no, not at all. No, this being that was working with Jane, that she actually was of them, that she had an experienced life as an Anasazi, and described the fact that they were able to come and go at will, and that they were with the stars without fear. They were of the one, not of this galaxy. They were collective energies of the oneness. And they came to bring hope to humans. They were holders of magic. And, I mean, there was a lot more. But an interesting, and they also said a bubble of blue light encompassed them and kept them in perfect balance. But I thought the most interesting comment from them was that the male archetype here is all wrong. I'm sorry for laughing, but I just thought that was such an interesting comment. And so, but I do see this is the reason we have so many people working on the masculine right now, that helping men to shift through, you know, what has happened on this planet. And this is not to say that men are bad and wrong. Please do not misunderstand this. We're talking about the archetype itself.
What they're projecting for power to be successful is what is being changed, isn't it?
Well, yes, and it's not only success, it's domination instead of dominion. And it's the domination that we're seeing played out, I think, and in terms of war and large corporations and, you know, governments and, you know, it's gotten out of proportion. And distorted. And distort. That doesn't mean that all men are. So that, please, for you men that are listening, that I want to really clarify that. But I thought it was very, very interesting. And you and I talked earlier in the week too about a lot of stuff coming up with your clients around the masculine energy.
Yeah, I think it's more about people. You know, I've just gone blank. The number of people who are dealing with the issue of power right now is really important. People are angry. People are not sleeping. People are furious about certain levels of power, and I think that's the masculine, the same thing you're talking about, really.
So are they angry at what they're seeing out in their world?
Yes, they're angry about feeling the whole thing is out of control, and it's... they're seeing it in themselves, and, you know, it's more like, it's not about just men, it's more about the thing about power being out of control, and that
Absolutely.
Seems to be so poor in the world right now, even though there's people rising into their power, so it's kind of like a real odd Velcro.
Right, so what they're really seeing is that they're seeing that what's going on inside of them is being reflected out in the world, and then the frustration of wanting to change that and not... It's like wanting to change out here what's going on in here.
Yes, and feeling, is it too much? Is it too, you know, they're often really loving people. Most of the people we work with are so loving and so intentional.
Yes, yes.
It's very frustrating.
Well, you know, and this is a good segue into resonant reality because I think that... and I'm going to get into power just for a minute here. I think that we have such a misunderstanding of power and on the planet and powerlessness. And I think the conflict when people start moving into empowerment and see the abuses of power, which then really kind of sock them in the face.
And even when you think about oil and the wars all attached to it, it's all about power, getting power, making power. It's sort of an aberration of the same subject, isn't it, or an extreme example?
Of course it is. And, you know, I mean, you know, in my other life, you know, I worked with oil companies the majority of my career, 27 years. And I was in corporate, you know, in and out of corporate all the time for Chevron Oil in San Francisco, and worked with a lot of the, well, actually, some of the people I started out with actually made it up to the top. And I was fascinated in terms of watching the workings of what was really going on. And I kept asking the universe, why can't I get away from this? Why oil? Why oil? And they kept telling me, it's the gold of your planet right now. It's the gold of your planet. Well, it was such an interesting experience for me to see how oil was gold was power. And it certainly has continued to be such.
Goldman Sachs would tell you. Sacks of gold, eh?
Absolutely. And then working with the major casino companies and also abuses of masculine power, where everything in, you know, all the major casinos were built on the premise that we win and you lose. Again, you know, abuses of power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always fascinated by the distortions. And I often wondered why I was there.
Why were you?
I really have worked with very powerful men in my life, and it was really about me understanding power and the abuses of power. What makes people powerful, or assume that they're powerful? What was real power? What wasn't real power? And not being afraid of power, you know, and embracing my own power. It was a lot of stuff around power. It was very, very, very interesting. And it helped me to understand an awful lot about the planet and the abuses of the planet. You certainly don't understand it when you're in it. Until the end, I didn't understand that every single service station, that the Earth would never be the same. I didn't find that out till I quit.
Oh.
So
that must have hurt, did it?
Oh, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was it for me. So, as you could well understand. So let's talk about resonant reality. And I've got this really cute, this was this cute little article. It was called Shakespeare Helps Cows Produce More Milk. To moo or not to moo, that is the question. As a part of a bizarre experiment, Shakespeare plays seemed to spur cows to produce more milk. And they go on to talk about it. This British theater company performs scenes, you know, from this Shakespeare play, and found they were doing this near a cattle farm and that or a dairy that the cows then started producing more milk. And so no one knows why Shakespeare boosts milk production, but classical music is said to have the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this because I thought, aha, resonance. I just thought that really drove it home. So let's talk about resonant reality. And the reason this really came up, and this was such an interesting, one of my clients, talked about the fact that she decided that they had she and her husband had a couple who were friends, and in New York, and this couple were practicing being very kind and polite to one another, and she was fascinated by being around them, by their interactions with one another, and decided to implement that in her own marriage. So she shared that with the team and was delighted with the results. Now, this is a very high-powered couple and very big lifestyle, etc. And so the team, which I loved this. I just thought this was so fascinating. This is when the team went into the whole thing about resonance. And really went off about using what happened when they started using a different tone with one another. it changed their realities. All of a sudden, life was nicer, better. They got along better. Everything was more lovely. And so the team went on to explain to her that if she would do the same thing with her children, she would have totally different responses with her children as well. That resonance was so important, and it would change every moment of every day by changing the resonance with which she communicated.
So what was the tone? It was like, ooh.
No, it was strictly the resonance of being loving and polite.
Hmm.
That's a shift in resonance. Our voice is resonant. And, you know, what's interesting to me, if you see families, and of course I've had both my children living here, so it's been very, very interesting in turning back the hands of time to be with my children today, and I'm very conscious about the way I speak to both of them. My son and I have lived together for, I don't know, a couple of years, and we never raise our voices to one another. We're very loving to one another. It's very peaceful and loving, and, you know, we can have funny times and so on. But it's just a way of being for us. My daughter is more aggressive and a little bit more abrasive. And so I really had to mind my P's and Q's to no matter what, to stay in that loving resonance all the time. What I found, which was fascinating to me, is even if she came home in a very snarky mood, if I stayed in that resonance, she would shift. She couldn't hold on to the negative resonance if I stayed in mine. And so it's been very, very fascinating just kind of play. I did it automatically, but when this came up in a session, I thought it was really fascinating. And so it's something, you know, Veronica, you and I talk to people constantly. You do more radio shows than I do. I do one. I think you do two. Plus you're working on television and all kinds of other things. But as healers, you know, I think we're both very, very aware, and we get into a specific resonance when we do our work. It's just the natural thing to do.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. And
whenever I do my work, even if I don't like the person, I absolutely love them.
Well, that's very funny. Well, I find that even if something, you know, very disturbing could be going on around me or whatever in my home life or in, you know, something, the moment I go into session, everything shifts completely. I find that I'm in this state of love, and of course I channel as well, but, you know, it's a whole different shift, and I really love doing my sessions for that reason. It completely shifts my resonance back where it needs to be, where it needs to be, where it needs to be. And so we're used to working in resonance. We read resonance. You know, it's really what we do. I think we do it unconsciously. I think it's just a natural part of who we are.
Well, we're always trying to bring a conscious and a very high resonance forward in everything we do, and that's the game, isn't it? That's
have to. Absolutely have to. So this, in as simple as these things are, they're massive in what they do.
So tell me this, Jackie, and I'll tell everybody at home, because right now, this very moment, I have a 5-year-old grandson who's a really, he disappeared between radio shows so he could join the people next door because he didn't want to wait. Okay, so the resonance, the reason I'm asking this is I went out between shows to make sure he was safe, which he is, and I didn't deal with him at all. But the resonance of bringing in someone who's been disobedient and put you through something, then what do you do in order to install a higher frequency interaction with somebody on that level?
I can tell you, because I know this is what the team would say, and having heard them talk to people with children over and over and over again, is you have to talk to them in a way that they would understand, which is to talk to them about how would they feel if you disappeared and they couldn't find you.
Okay.
You have to turn it around for them. Otherwise, they're not going to get it.
But the resonance of how you say that is also loving and respectful.
Very loving. It you know, otherwise, if you shame them or they stuff it, you're not going to get anywhere. These new children really need to understand, because they don't understand. They're very experiential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they don't understand consequences unless you can explain it to them in a way where they can relate to it and think, oh, gosh, I would be so worried if my Grammy disappeared.
Right. That's right.
And that's
okay.
The only way that he would understand it and be able to deal with it.
So for everybody at home, tune in next week and we'll let you know what happened.
It actually was a perfect time for it to come up for us.
And I knew, but, you know, to be fair, I knew that there was an opportunity next door with three teenagers and a wonderful woman that we love doing fireworks. Well, I asked him to wait in while I did radio. So I guess, you know, it's pretty hard for him not to go out there.
Well, again, when you talk to him, you can turn it around. He'll get it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
He'll get it.
And then we can send the team after me.
So let's talk, because this applies to him and to everybody else, okay?
Yeah.
When we deal with people with kindness and respect, we have a totally different experience than when we get edgy. Every single time. You know, we've all had these...
Because we're projecting that edginess, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's been very interesting for me. Something broke in the house, and I asked my daughter to call because it was the air conditioning. And I asked her to call the company back, and I heard her talking to them on the phone, and I'm like, oh, God. So I called them back and kind of smoothed it all over, because I realized that her way of getting things done was to get aggressive. And I'm so cognizant of the fact that everybody is just doing their jobs. You don't accomplish anything by doing that. It is, you know, by contacting them and saying, look, I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But again, kindness, it's a resonance. The moment you approach people with a resonance that's of a higher level, you're going to get a higher level response. It's the way it works. We're human consciousness, we're vibration, we're frequency. And this extends out into so many areas. You know, what this little thing said in the beginning was, as all of these downloads are coming in, everything's coming in, dropping into us, as long as we're at a higher frequency, they're going to come in a lot easier. We're going to be able to take them in. If we're carrying anger, frustration, old anger, things, you know, that we hold against people, et cetera, and if we're carrying that stuff around, that stuff's going to hit our bodies like no tomorrow. It's not going to come in the way that we really desire it to come in. And, you know, and then we get into resonant reality creation. And I was talking to Jennifer, who, you know, one of our wonderful friends, and she was talking about cause and effect reality. And she said, you know, Jackie, I used to be able to do this and get this result, straight old cause and effect, and it doesn't work anymore. And I went, bingo, it doesn't. We've moved into a resonant reality. It's totally different. So all of the old guys' ideas about working harder, doing this, doing that, have all gone out the window, because we are now, you know, with the movie and the book, The Law of Attraction, or The Secret, you know, these were all about resonance in many, many ways, okay? And so here we are at a time now where our resonance is everything. I mean, you've awakened in the morning. I know I have too, especially years ago when I was in real estate. And I would always think back at process, why was this day so good? Why did I just, you know, boom, 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 you know, click deals together? And I started the day at a high resonance. I was in a wonderful mood. And from there, I became an attractor. Mm-hmm. And everything clicked, and I kept the resonance high. And it's so easy to drop resonance. Gossip, judging, getting our feelings hurt, getting angry at somebody, resentment, jealousy. I mean, you name it. And
the seven deadly sins, we used to call them.
Yes, there you go. And and fear. Oh, fear. Oh. And that one just, you know, that's just like having somebody tie, you know, big old boulders around your ankles. You know? Every time, that'll drop us down. So, not only that, but we drop our resonance. We're then reacting instead of responding. And then we have to climb back out again. If we respond, we can hold our resonance high. If we react, done. You drop it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being the magnet, I love this one. When your resonance is high, you're attracting all the time. The minute you doubt yourself, the minute you question yourself, the minute you think you're not enough, not good enough, things may not work, drop, 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 drop. We all do it, Veronica.
Oh, I know. I know I do it.
So,
well, that's why, I mean, even thinking about a five-year-old, it's like, okay, how do I keep my resonance really high and doing all the parental things that go on inside of all of us? I know that's not just me. It's a lot of people that have that issue, you know. Discipline. It's learning.
Well, it's our, you know, these little ones are different today. They are absolutely different. You happen to have one that's very active.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're not the parent. You know, it's like, I mean, I hate to go here, but it's like dog sitting. Okay? You can love the dog, but it was trained by the owner.
That's the truth.
Okay, so you can't get that dog to sit and stay if the owner never taught it to sit and stay. It's that simple.
That's right. There's no point dropping your resonance over. Keep a sense of humor. And
absolutely.
Sit, roll over.
So don't take it so personally. It's not your dog. I'm sorry if I've offended anyone out there listening, but it's...
But it's good to laugh, because then you go, okay, I can keep my resonance high.
Yes. Again, you can try to instill an influence as a grandparent,
mm-hmm.
but you can't parent.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, parent is something you do 24 hours a day.
Right.
All right, all you can do is instill and inspire and influence. That's it. Okay? Remember that. It's a big one. I look at my granddaughter just ended up here last night, and my daughter, and she moved out to a new place today. I mean, things are moving so fast here, I can't even see straight. And only because there was no room at the inn here for her. I'm out of closets. I'm out of beds. And, you know, and I had a long talk with her about the influences of this town and so on and so forth. And I'm very, very, very clear. You know, she had her end of the conversation about, you know, being with her mom and this and that. And I just got clear. I said, honey, I'll pick you up Sunday. We'll go to brunch in a lovely place. And I realized I'm the influence, but I'm not the parent.
Right.
And so all I can do is be an influence, you know, be an inspirer. But I certainly can't do anything else. It doesn't matter how old they are, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
So, do the best you can. Keep the puppy in the pen as well. Do the best you can.
Oh,
So let's talk about voice for a moment, because I find this very fascinating as residents. And Veronica, I know you're as aware of this as I am, that there are some people's voices, when you hear them speak, there's a melodious quality to their voice, and you just kind of,
Yeah, that's true.
And for humans, voice is resonance. You know, we identify people by their voice, not only their faces. And that's our version of resonance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in dealing on the other side of the veil, and this is going to become more and more, those communications are telepathic. So they're reading your total resonance, not your voice, and not your face. So this is the reason that we're still doing all the healings we're doing, Veronica, on people, because the bottom line here, okay, if we have unhealed stuff, it's screwing up our resonance. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter how nice your voice is. Doesn't matter how pretty your face is. When you're dealing on the other side of the veil, there is nowhere to hide. And every thought is heard. And this is something I know a lot of people freak out over, but it's part of your total resonance. And this is why heal. Work with your shadow. Embrace your shadow. You know, it's part of who you are. You are not light and dark. You're light dark. You're all of it. You've got to embrace your shadow. And that, you know, no matter what your thoughts are, et cetera. Because on the other side of the veil, and they're around us, they see it. They hear it. I walk through the house laughing about this because I think it's so damn funny.
So Santa Claus is real.
Sort of, yes. So, in essence, this is forcing us to be more authentic. And believe me, this is happening very, very quickly. This is not some far-in-the-future situation. It's happening, people. Believe me. And the higher your resonance, the more apt you are going to be, the more able you're going to be to communicate with your star friends that so many people are really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping that resonance high, you know, you could be in the middle of a communication and have some errant thought about how pissed off you are at somebody, and just zap, the communication can be gone. Shift in resonance.
Hmm.
So, you know, going back to voice, and I love this one, it was, and this is something I was typing, that our conversations can have such a huge impact on the way we commune with one another, not just communicate, commune. Because we are now at a point, he's done it, that people weren't aware of it, that our energy fields are banging into one another and merging with one another. It's all resonance, literally. So, keeping our resonance high means that we have more impact in every single thing that we do. Playing music. Music automatically raises your resonance. That's why they call it one of the muses of the soul.
Hmm.
Beautiful music. Now, on the flip side of that, when I go to the gym, you know, they've got head-banging music going, and I really could care less because I'm lifting weights. My focus is totally different. I am not there to communicate with anything but a weight. But traditionally, I would never listen to that music in a million years. It makes me laugh that when I'm in the gym, it doesn't bother me.
Well, it probably matches the tone of the muscle building, you know.
It, I don't know. It must. It's got some really a major impact.
Testosterone.
I think so. I think that must be it. Listen, I work out in the women's gym, and you should see the testosterone in there. I was like, what?
Wow.
See these girls' muscles. So, again, getting very, very, very clear, people, that you can't be dragging around old unresolved anger and hate and resentments, and because it's screwing up your resonance, and if it's screwing up your resonance, it's going to screw up your ability to create what you really desire. It's really that simple. I mean, it's gotten down to real basics at this point. And that's really important stuff. I mean, you know, we move into all these wonderful esoteric ideas, but it's getting pretty simple at this point. You know?
Move it. Move it. What are you resonating with? Yes.
And the higher our resonance, there are times when we will attract things that we didn't even know that we desired, that we're carrying in ourselves, wonderful things, if our resonance is high enough. Mm-hmm. They'll come flying in, flying in, flying in. That's where we're going, if we can keep it up. Resonant reality creation, it's a wonderful thing. It's so much more civil. It's the way the universe works. We're the only ones that are lagging behind. So... I'm going to bring in the team here. And if I'm coughing and choking, I had a tooth pulled yesterday, so I got all this stuff coming out of my system. It's not pretty.
You sure had an overhaul.
Yeah, well, I've had several of them lately. All right, everyone. All right. Well, you're having a good time with this subject tonight. Welcome, Veronica. Welcome, everyone. We love you all very, very much. And we will come with our resonance high.
Good.
And we hope that all of you have your resonance high. Now, as we look at all of you, your resonance, all right, is the way that we identify you, your colors, your tones, your resonance, beautiful. Now, if you could see from our perspective, you're like a map, and depending on what's going on in any moment, your colors change, your light changes, your auric field moves in and out, your chakras shift around, smaller, larger, different ones reacting. And if you were aware of this, if you could see this, if you could monitor it, it would be very exciting, like your biofeedback, all right? Like your biofeedback. And soon enough, you will be able to do this. Someone will come up with it, if they haven't already, to help you to see how you become your own worst enemy and what it is you really want to have in your life. Now, we're not trying to make you feel bad. That's not our intent tonight at all. Not at all. We love you. We know that you're capable of creating anything and everything you truly desire. And every week we try to give you little more pieces and more pieces and more ideas and listen to that tape and go to do this or read that. Try this. Work with your chakras. Meditate. All of these wonderful things. But with everything you do, we remind you, heal what needs to be healed, people. Forgive, release, stop blaming. Allow everyone in your life to have their experience. Now, you may not necessarily understand their experience. As long as it's not interfering with your personal boundaries, allow them to be who they are and to walk their path. Now, sometimes they're going to walk a path that you may not like. Now, if we get into the extremes, if they're using drugs or alcohol abuse or that kind of thing, you can't tell them you must stop. You can say to them, look, I can't participate in this. I love you, but I have to allow you to walk your path. If they're self-abusive, self-sabotaging, etc., don't judge them. Again, work with your boundaries. Does this work for you? Can you have them in your life and love and accept them as they are? And allow them to walk their path. Now, some of you have families like this. Some of you are actually able to do it. To allow people to do what they came here to do. Some people are taking longer to get to certain places. That's all right. But bless them. Don't judge them. It's very difficult for all of you, we know, especially at these very critical times, and especially for those people that you love. Connect with their higher selves. If you find it impossible to connect with them, connect with their higher selves. Now, you can't tell their higher selves what to do. And their higher selves doesn't need you to tell them what to do. But you can communicate with them. You can touch that higher, greater part of them. The part that you know is there as they act out their physical path here this lifetime. For many of you, it's a frustration that you're not able to love as much as you want to love. Or they won't allow the love. Or they're struggling. And there are going to be a lot of people like that. Maintaining your resonance. Blessing them. Forgiving them if you need to. Taking them off the hook, whoever it may be, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, you know, lovers, whoever, children. You'll be amazed at how people respond when they don't feel judged, because people are very sensitive. They do know. And most people know what they're doing. Most people know what they're doing. Many people do things that are very difficult for some of you to handle. Many of them don't even know why they do them. And in their own unique way, they're seeking love. May not necessarily look like it to you, but in their own unique way, even sometimes acting out in very negative ways. It's all they know. Your job to keep your resonance high. It doesn't mean that you live in an ivory tower. It means that you're able to hold your resonance regardless of what's going on around you. And the only way to do that, no judgment, no blame, no anger. Oh, these are going to be hard. Now, occasionally, you're going to lose your tempers. And sometimes it's very justified. That's all right. Get your anger out. Try not to slaughter people in the process. Because that's not the answer either. Ultimately, and you are all going there, when you can walk on the planet in dominion, in neutrality, with compassion, and allowing everyone to walk their path, you're going to find that your world changes and becomes magical. And people will flock to you because they will feel that love. Look at what Buddha did. Compassionate detachment, and yet his teachings live on for thousands of years. Compassionate detachment. The one you called Jesus, well, he was a little more passionate than that. He didn't mind getting upset. Although he studied Buddha. Your resonance, the more that you heal, lights up in ways that you can't imagine. And people, you're so close now. There's so many wonderful things, so many discoveries. More and more contact. And with the Stargate that you're planning to open, and we will assist you with that in the best way that we can, what is allowed by us. Your invitation to us for more direct communication. More direct contact, more intimacy, contact with home. Kindness. Remember who you are, and that you are the bridges on this planet. Everywhere you go, everything you do, everyone you speak to, every moment of every day, when you're home alone and there's nobody else around, you are a bridge. It never stops. There are no timeouts for being a bridge. It is who you are. It is your wonder. It is your magic. And it was your choice to come here to be that. Many lifetimes of preparation for this. Resonant, dear ones. Add a drop of magic. Some processing. Some programming. You're going to find that you can create anything and everything you desire. But you need to clear out that which sits in your subconscious, your unconscious, all of this crap. And you're doing it. You're doing a beautiful job of it. And we're so excited to see where you're all going and what you're doing. And we are aware of each and every one of you more than you know. More than you know. Now, Veronica, you had a
yes.
little problem with your grandson tonight.
Yes.
All right. Are you calmer now?
Much calmer, actually. Thank you. Yes. But,
right.
you know, I've had quite a history with kids who want to run.
So this triggered something in you.
Yeah, so as you're saying, clear yourself out, and I'm going, okay, projections, fears, la, 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 you know.
Yes,
history.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those projections will get in your way.
I'm trying to see what they are, you know.
So you have some history with people running.
Mm-hmm.
Who ran?
My first adopted daughter and then later I had a surprise child. And my biggest fear was that she would do that, and of course she did that. And I still blame myself for that, for her picking up my terror of that possibility, you know.
Oh, well, don't blame you. Now, after everything we've said tonight and you're blaming. And the moment you said
those words.
I don't
think I do so much now, but I feel like I did think I had created it, you know.
Yes, except that when you talked about it, your resonance dropped.
Yes, okay.
So there's still something there.
Yeah, it was a hard thing to recover from, I believe. So it's probably a big issue still.
All right, yes, you still haven't cleared it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Something you want to really do some work on, dear.
Yes, thank you, I will.
All right, forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. Knowing that everybody's path is perfect. You didn't do it 100% right. None of you did. You don't remember anybody handing you an instruction book when you came in, do you? There was no human handbook. We promise you. You all did the best you could with what you had at the time and what you knew. Based on how much damage you had, your projections, we can go on and on and on. But you're not those same people anymore. You're totally different. Remember that. And, Veronica, if that person that you were then now still needs to have love and assurance, then take a moment to go into meditation and go back and comfort her.
Okay.
And assure her that she did the best she could. Retrieve that peace and bring it forward. Integrate it in.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, I do, actually. Thank you.
Good. Good. Very important. If you've got pieces out there, people, that are stuck, you're the ones to go back and help them. No one else. And you can do that, especially right now. Anything that drops your resonance. Any place there's shame and pain. Go back. And work with them, please. Now, Veronica, you've got a show coming up. Talk to us about your show.
I'm not sure who my next paradigm shifter is. Got somebody who might be talking about conscious parenting. So that would be wonderful.
Oh, how interesting is that?
Yes, that's the subject I'd really like to cover for obvious reasons, and you've helped with that tonight a lot. Anyway, so Paradigm Shifters is on next Tuesday at 8 p.m., and then Thursday I think we'll still continue with projections and so on at 7 p.m. on Radiance by Design.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, again, remember, you're not the parent.
That's right.
All right? You're not the parent. Your daughter's the parent. You're the grandparent, and you call him your grand one.
Yeah.
All right? With you, he experiences magic and unlimited possibilities. He may get a little out of hand. But that inspiration will be with him forever. Remember that.
Oh, good.
All right?
That's the focus.
Yes. So he ran next door and he's safe. All right?
Five, yeah.
All right. Now, to all of you tonight, we'd love to work with you with your permission. To work with your resonance. If you call us in when you go to sleep tonight, your higher selves, your guides, and some of us would like to work with you on resonance. Perhaps tomorrow morning you'll wake up and think, oh, God, I really need to go forgive so-and-so. Oh, geez, I'm still mad at my ex-husband or my ex-girlfriend or whoever. I still haven't forgiven that damn neighbor that took my garden hose or whatever they may have done. Any little piece that's still hanging out there, so tomorrow you may wake up and during your day, oh, I really need to look at that, and you'll wonder where it came and remember what we said to you tonight. We love you all so very much, everyone. And you're doing wonderful work, and it's a joy for us to participate with you and to co-create with you. And to encourage you, and we thank you for participating with us. Veronica, dear one, we love you very, very much. Always a joy to be with you and to each and every one of you. Our unconditional love, people. And that comes from so many levels, so many races, so many dimensions. That all you have to do is open just a little to be filled. Namaste.
Namaste.
Oh. Okay. Are we on?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, everybody, good night. We love you very much. I think we're over, are we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, Veronica, I love you. Remember, everyone, a piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you, and a piece of you are, every one of you are in us. It can be no other way. We are all one. Talk with you all next week. We love you very much.
Good night, Jackie. Love to you, too.
Good night, honey.
Good night.
Bye-bye.